pray, oh God, that you will cause our hearts to be open to your word and that you will speak to us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, let there be the deep calling upon the deep this morning, that Father, you, oh Lord, will speak to us by your Spirit, and that you would let there be power through your word to liberate, to heal, to encourage, to uphold, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the past 2 weeks, we had been talking about what Christ does in our lives to make us Christians. When we are called Christians, we are called Christians for a reason. And the people who are called Christians is because the mark of Christ has been seen upon their lives. That is why they are called Christians. Last week, we looked at two different aspects of the lives of, or the two different types of Christians there are. The two different types of Christians, and we said that a Christian is either a Christian after the Spirit or a Christian is a Christian after the flesh. And when Paul was addressing the Corinthian church, he talked about Christians who are after the flesh, who are no more than baby Christians. And we recognize that there are certain things in the life of a Christian when you have just started that God in his providence, it looks like he overlooks, and he deals with you as he'll deal with a baby. Now, when a baby spills milk, what do? You don't take out a cane to give the baby 6 lashes, right? If a 10-year-old, you've told the 10-year-old, look, watch your ways, and he does it, you can be a little bit harsher with a 10-year-old. But with a baby Christian, there are still certain things you walk in that God might overlook, and you are expected not to remain a baby forever. Paul talked about babies sincerely desiring the milk of the word, and the hope is that as Christians, we do not forever be Christians that desire milk. We go from Christians that desire milk to Christians that desire meat. If at the age of 20, 30, 40, you are still like Muradike taking feeding bottle, a question must be asked, what is wrong? Because at the age of 20, 30, 40, if you are taking feeding bottle, I will think that lactose intolerance will have set in by that age. But now, in the world today, the question is asked that what shows us that as Christians, we are maturing to people who sincerely desire the meat of the word and not milk. Because there's a place where you start as a baby and you grow in the things of God by use, by experience with God, by waiting upon God, by being obedient to the things that God has said. You mature onto being somebody older in the faith. And then there are certain things that will not be expected of you as you mature in Christ. Now, all these things, and also, sorry, before we go on, we also talked about in John chapter 15, where Christ said he is the vine. We are the branches. His Father is the husbandman. And the husbandman prunes the branches. Why? Can anybody tell me? Because we did this last week. Why? That we might bear more fruits. And that is the desire of God. And he said that the branch that doesn't bear any fruit at all, even after pruning, what happens to that branch? It is chopped off. It is gathered and it is burned. May that not be our own portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the reason why we come to church, the reason why we come to learn, because we could be doing any other thing, we could be playing golf or tennis, is that we want to know Christ. that we might mature in the things of Christ. And I ask myself one question. In all these things that we have been learning of being a Christian and growing in Christ, what is the use? And that is what I want to talk about today. What is the use? Why are we learning these things? What is the eventual product of our growing in the knowledge of Christ? One, we know that the eventual product in our lives is that we want to make heaven. That is the de facto or the per se result of growing in Christ. One is that everybody wants to make heaven, right? Nobody wants to go to hell. Even an unbeliever, go out into the streets, say, where do you think you'll be, heaven or hell? I want to be in heaven. Okay? Everybody wants to be in heaven. So, apart from that de facto answer that we have, because we want to be in heaven, that is our desire, okay? But there's also something that Christ wants to do in us and through us while we are still on earth. As I've said it many times before, what Jesus does has a purpose and has a reason. Jesus doesn't do anything for doing sake. Everything he does has a purpose and has a reason why he does it. And I've also come to learn that every word written in the Bible has a purpose. And if we will be careful to really know the purpose of God, we will walk right in this earth and we will fulfill what Christ wants for us. Okay. In the book of Luke, which we have all been reading as a church, can we open to Luke 9? The book of Luke, chapter 9. And here we begin to see the eventual result of what God is doing in the life of each and every one of us. Why we are Christians who pant after the things of the Spirit and not after the things of the flesh. Why we are Christians that we allow the purging of God in our lives that we might bear much fruit, more fruit and eventually much fruit. Jesus Christ had been walking with the disciples, had been training them, had been teaching them for some time. And one day he called all of them out. And in verse 1 of chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, and in verse 1, it says that then he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them something. He called the 12 disciples together and he gave them something. Sister Ronki, what did he give them? He gave them power, not only power, and authority. He gave them power and authority over all what? Demons and to cure diseases. Brethren, this is what God wants to do eventually with every one of us. And I'll explain how we can be of use, and I'll also explain some of the things that hinders us from getting there. If you look at the life of every one of the servants of God right from the beginning of time, right from the time of God using Abraham, God using Joseph, God using Daniel, God using Nehemiah, God using Moses, every one of the disciples of God, every one of the servants of God, God gave them power and authority. You can have power without authority. And you can also have authority without power. If you have power and you do not have authority in Christianity, in the things of the Spirit, in the things of God, it is called illegitimate power. Now, what is power? When it comes to the spiritual realm, power is having something to effect a change, either in the physical realm or in the spiritual realm. What is authority? Authority is the mantle you carry to be able to bring about what you want to do. In the book of Acts of Apostles, there was something that the apostles faced when they were going about preaching the word. They came across a girl who had what they call a familiar spirit. And what a familiar spirit is, and these things are real. Demonic power is real. But we'll talk about it a little bit maybe today or later on. This girl had a familiar spirit, and a familiar spirit will be able to sell you certain things that other people might not be privy to know. Certain things that, you know, they might be able to tell you certain things that you have not revealed to anybody. Something that happened to me many, many years ago brought me to the knowledge of some of this demonic and illegitimate type of power. And I think I mentioned this in church, maybe in one of my sermons some time ago. There was a neighbor of ours, okay, where we lived in Nigeria as a young man. Many of us don't know it very well, but let me use just as an analogy. Maybe the analogy was that we were living in Bowie. We now moved to Laurel. Okay, so I had a neighbor, and when I was living, and I'm using it as an analogy, not that where I was in Iaba, and we moved to Gbagada, for those who know Lagos. So we're living in Bowie, and so I'm using it as an analogy for those who do not know Lagos. And the neighbors that we were living with, some of our neighbors in Bowie at that time, there was this family that had three young girls and a young boy as their children. One of the young girls was attending a college, high school, called Holy Child. And there was this morning, my stepbrother and I, we were just stepping out to go to school. We were driving, you know, at that time we had some money. We were driving our car to school. And I saw my neighbor from Bowie in Laurel just walking up and down the streets, lost. And I was like, why are you here? What happened to you? And she could not tell what happened to her. She didn't know where she was. And she just began to cry when she saw. And I said, oh, please, come into the car. And she burst out crying that there were these men who abducted her, took her to her home. First of all, they told her her birthday. They told her things that nobody else knew. And then took her to her home to go to her mother's room to bring all the gold and all her money. And now they took her from Bowie and now dropped her in Laurel, and they disappeared. And that was how I knew that, look, demonic power is real. It is real. But the thing is that God's power is above any demonic power. Just as our sister said, you know, there is nothing that compares to the power of God. Now, when the disciples went out, God gave them power and authority. The kind of power that those men used over that little girl was an illegitimate power. In the Bible talked about that girl with the familiar spirits going along with the disciples until one of them stood up and rebuked that familiar spirit. Now, there was a gentleman who had been using that girl for gain, because he had been using that familiar spirit, you know, maybe soothsaying, telling people. And it's the same thing with people who are doing palm reading, who are doing tarot cards, who are doing Ouija boards. There is power in it. No doubt about it. But it's an illegitimate power. It's a demonic type of power. And people who are very, very cognizant and awake to the things of the occult, they will demonstrate power. They will have power, but an illegitimate type of power. You know, my father told me of an occasion in the 60s in Nigeria, during the time of the early politicians in Nigeria, and they had this thing in Nigeria called wetie then, where certain men who were steeped in the things of the occult, because my father said he saw something that he had never seen before. He saw a man take an egg and throw the egg at a house, and the whole house exploded. You know, there is power in it, but it's an illegitimate power. Now, when Jesus Christ sent out his disciples, he sent them out with not only power, but with authority. There are some people who have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every born-again Christian has the authority of Christ upon them. But not every born-again Christian has the power of God backing them. That is why when we as Christians, we reach certain things or we reach certain junctions or crossroads in life and we become afraid. We reach certain situations in our workplaces and we become afraid. We see certain people who deal with us treacherously, who deal with us with the power of the occult, and we become afraid. Why? Because we have authority, but we do not have power. And what Jesus is doing in the lives of every one of us as Christians, like he did in the life of his disciples, is to bring us to the place where we are given his power and authority, that what he had been doing, we will be the continuation of it on earth. But we cannot be the continuation of the work of Christ except we have both power and authority. Now, Jesus Christ sent his disciples out and gave them power and authority, because before you can do anything in the kingdom of Satan, you not only need power, but you need authority of Christ to overcome every work of the devil. So, to heal the sick, because there are certain sicknesses that are caused by chemicals and imbalances in our bodies, but there are other sicknesses that are caused by demonic influences, because the Bible makes us understand that there are some mental diseases that are strictly demonic possession. I'm not saying not every mental disease, because there are some people who, when they see anybody who is mentally ill, they think, oh, it must be. No, it's not every mental illness that is a demonic possession. But there are certain ones that are demonic possessions. Just like we read in the earlier scripture of when Jesus Christ went by boat to the island of the Gadarenes. And what did he see there? He saw this man who for many, many years had gone naked, had gone mad, and who Jesus Christ not only drove the demons out of him, but healed him of everything that was about him that was mentally ill, that man came to his senses. So, for us to be able to come against the things of the devil, we need both the power of God and the authority of God. Now, let me tell you something. What would make a Christian stand before opposers? And opposers can be in many forms. They can be in many forms. They can be in the form, and we have read this before, in the book of Samuel Morris that we all read as a church that I gave to every family, there was the time when some people came. They wanted to kill Samuel Morris. And this man took up a knife to stab Samuel Morris. And Samuel Morris said, "Not so, not so." Speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the man could not bring the knife down. And I told you of one of the servants of God in Nigeria at that time called Samuel Kure, how he narrated when during the time of the Maitasine things back then in northern Nigeria, where they were going to slaughter him, and he began to laugh at them. For somebody to come to that place where you laugh at the face of evil, it's because there's a power and authority within you, which you yourself, you know that you have it. You see, when you have the power and authority of God, there's no fear. When you don't have the power and authority of God, fear exists. Sometimes when you have authority but you don't have power, you get to the place where you are afraid of the opposers that you meet. And opposition can come from different angles. People who oppose you at your workplace, you might think that this person hates me, but it's beyond somebody hating you alone. There are times when the devil uses people to oppose you because of the kind of righteousness that exists within your life. Either because of that or because they know that the word of God coming out of your mouth can begin to convert the hearts or sow the word of God into the hearts of the people around you. So for us as Christians, we need both the power and the authority of God upon our lives, or else we will not be able to do the works of Christ. As Christians, you remember we were talking about it last week. You know, today in the church, many people are running after signs and wonders. They're running after miracles. In the multitude of YouTube clips and all types of things that people have sent me about ministers that I call them spiritual highway robbers, you know, extorting people of money because they have something over. And some of these pastors, some of them, they actually have occultic powers that have people bound. And because people themselves, you do not steep yourself in the word of God to know the truth, because the word of God says that you shall know the truth. And what does it do? It will set you free. If the truth of God doesn't set you free, you know what will happen? People will empty your pockets of what you have. The Bible tells us that these people, some of them, their belly are their gods. Thinking that righteousness is a means to God, godliness is a means to gain. That is what it means. When you begin to form a church and make a play at godliness, no, it's not about godliness. You are making a play at godliness. It's like a facade. You know, you put a facade there knowing that you have an ulterior motive of getting into the pockets of the people. The people themselves, many of them have been bamboozled, bound, hoodwinked. That somebody will just tell you, bring your house and you take your keys, bring it. Bring this, you bring it. Bring for years, you keep on bringing, and nothing changes about your life. As Christians, the Bible tells us that the things, and let me read it. Let's open to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul was talking to the Corinthians and he told them something. Verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Brethren, you see, as Christians, I want us to put things in life in perspective. Okay? The things which are not seen, the Bible says, those are the things that are eternal. The things which you see with your eyes, the cloth my sister is wearing, the seat you are sitting on, this house, everything is temporal. Sometimes within our lifetime, we see the temporary nature of it. This house, give it another 15, 20 years. If we don't do renovation, what happens? You begin to see everything get dilapidated. Look at any neighborhood in America. 15, 20, 25 years. After that, they will sell off all the houses, break down all the houses, and another developer will come build new houses, and they will sell those houses again. So nothing in this world is of eternal value. Nothing that you see with your eyes is of eternal value. Now, we walk so that we will keep body and soul together. We walk so that our bodies will have clothes to wear, right? We will have shoes for our feet. We will have a roof over our head. We'll have a warm house. But if the reason why we spend all our energy on earth is just for the temporal things of life, our lives will be empty at the end of life. Because every life will end one day. And the question is that when the life ends, what has your life been spent upon? That is the question. If my life has been spent upon just keeping my body together, that is, the house I live in, the clothes I wear, the car I drive, the shoes I buy, the comfort of my body, if that is all my laboring in life had been on, at the end of the life, my life is a zero. There is nobody who labors for body alone who can have the power and the authority of Christ. You have to go beyond laboring. It's legitimate that you labor for body. Because Christ doesn't, he said that the person who doesn't work should not eat. So it is legitimate that you labor for body. It's a legitimate thing. Because right from the beginning, God created work. But God did not create us for work alone. God did not create man just to walk alone. Right from the Garden of Eden, God created man to walk, but God also walked with man. And God created man for fellowship with himself. And at every story you will see in the Bible, every servant of God, like we talked about, they had the work that they did, but they also had the Spirit of God that they pursued. So, if all we do is work so that we will amass, and what we amass, we spend it on body, which eventually we will perish, we've lived for nothing. But in Christ wanting us to have power and authority, some of the things he gives us also gives us authority to be able to help other people. Do you know, brethren, that when you see miracles at work, when you see miracles in your finances, it's not just for you to spend it on your body alone. Just as we said, you know, in the previous weeks, God uses you as a conduit of blessing to be able to help others. So miracles in your life is not for you alone. Is God doing something powerful in your life so that you in turn might be able to put that power upon helping others? Somebody is sick. What do we do as a church? The Bible tells us, call people, lay hands on them that they may be healed. That is where Christ wants us to come to. Where we lay hands on people that they may be healed. Where you see demons, and it's not only in just somebody has a demon and you play the person rolling on the floor. There are demonic influences in many other things also. For us to be able to speak to people's lives and situations, and whatever demonic influence is at operation, they leave. So it is not us following after signs and wonders. It is not us following after miracles. It's when we have been given power and authority by Christ, the signs and wonders and miracles, they will be the ones following us. But first, we put everything in where it should be. When Christ comes first, then the authority and power he is given will be able to use it for his own sake. Now, what hinders us from coming to this place of having... Yes, my sister. Yes.
Where's the place of gifts in this? Because from what you're saying, mm-hmm. it's as though every true born-again Christian ought to have power and
authority. Yes.
So meaning that, you know, in certain whatever situation, it could be in healing, it could be to speak to that situation or pray with the people.
Yes.
But, you know, in the Bible as well, in Corinthians, it tells us that, you know, some of us, we have different gifts, spiritual gifts, right? So how does that, because not everybody that, I don't know, I'm asking, maybe not everybody who has power and authority will be able to heal, for example.
Very true.
We'll be able to speak to certain situations and it would be corrected. So I'm just wondering, because it might not mean that it's because they don't have the power and authority.
Okay.
But I'm just trying to, you know.
Let me say two things. First of all, there's a reason why gifts are given, and gifts are not given equally. Gifts are given by the Holy Spirit to whomever he desires. And the Bible already tells us, gifts are given for the edification of the church, so that the church might be built up. So, when we come to a place, okay, the way I'll put it is this. Everybody, when you are educated, there is like a general education that everybody has. Back then, it was standard 6. Today, what's it? If you have like a, is it bachelor's, we'll call it, or OND or HND? That is, everybody has that as a level, okay? Now, there are certain of those who are Christians who are now given something extra, which is the gifts that you are talking about. It's beyond just what everybody has. Every Christian should have authority, legitimate authority from Christ. And every Christian has power. Because every Christian, no matter how young a Christian you are, big or small a Christian you are, when you are met with a demon, you ought to be able to stand and rebuke a demon. Because in Christianity, there's no middle ground. It's either you run or demon will run. Somebody has to run. And the question is that when you as a Christian come to any demonic situation, you've got to be able to say to this demon, get out. Now, the gift that the Holy Spirit gives is to edify the church, to the building up of the church, so that there are certain situations that are just beyond demons. You know, there are sicknesses, and these are like miraculous things. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, something that nobody knows about. You're able to speak to that situation, and the people involved know that, this is God speaking, because nobody knows about it. There are power gifts, working of miracles. You know, you calling the dead alive is a working of miracle. I don't have that kind of power. It's a gift given by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives gifts because he wants some things done in some places. Now, because you have been given a gift by the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean that that gift belongs to you. It still belongs to him. And that was why Paul, when he went about, there were places he was able to heal people. People would bring handkerchief for their ill ones at home. And they will take that handkerchief home, and it will heal the person at home. And then there was a place where Paul said that, Timothy, for your stomach's sake, please use this little wine to heal your stomach issue. Why didn't he pray for Timothy to heal the stomach issue? Because he had that power. But that power was not his. So he could not just use it and demonstrate it any way he pleased. The Holy Spirit used Paul at a particular time, at a particular situation, for a particular means. It wasn't that Timothy didn't have faith for healing. Even Paul himself, there was a place where God said, this thorn in your flesh is going to be there. And Paul confessed, because of the revelations that God was giving Paul, Paul was the person who God took to the third heavens. And so that because of the numerous revelations that God was giving to Paul, he will not be pumped up. flesh will not take over. God puts a thorn in the flesh for him. So gifts are things given by the Holy Spirit to build up his church, which he himself directs any way he pleases. It doesn't belong to us. To every Christian, the authority and power of Christ is present in our lives. Does that make sense? Okay. When I was in, you know, Bible school, way back when I was in college, I went to Bible school for a year. And the teacher or the provost of the Bible school, we had an outreach at a place in UI called Abadina. And I was playing the keyboard for the Bible school then. And as we began to worship and pray, came a time when some of the children within the neighborhood that came for the event and a few of the adults, we began to see demonic manifestations where little children, you know, they began to just speak garbage and began to roll on the floor. And you see some children writhing like a snake on the floor. When we saw that, we knew that this was, you know, things of the demons present. And interestingly, the student in the Bible school, she told everyone, get in the midst of them and begin to pray. You will take a child and begin to cast out demons. Of course, how much did you know? Some people were afraid. Me, cast out demons. But the thing is that the little of Christ in you is enough to cast out any demon. But many of Christians, we don't know. Many of us as Christians, we are afraid. Christ in you, no matter how small, no demon can stand before Christ. No demon can stand before Christ. And as, you know, some of my colleagues, as they began to pray and they saw demons leaving, of course, what happened? They were now bolder. You know, things that they thought they couldn't do, they now began to pray even more. And that is what it is in the life of us as Christians. When God works, we become bolder. And brethren, this is what Christ wants to do in us. This is the result. All we have been talking about living right, about being obedient to his commandments, it's all for a reason. It's so that the works of Christ will begin to do it. So that Jesus will use us. Now, let me tell you something. Like I said, just as the gifts of God is not ours, but the Holy Spirit directs how it's going to be used, so is the power of God not ours. When you learn to be obedient to the command of God, where God wants you to speak to a situation, you will speak. But there are certain times God wants you to be quiet. So you don't go headlong. You know, a fool, they say, goes to where normal people will not go to. And where people who have sense, where they tread, a fool will rush headlong. There are times when God will tell you, shut up. But if you have not learned to be obedient to his command, to be sensitive to his spirit, you will not know when to shut up when the Holy Spirit says shut up. You will not know when to be bold when the Holy Spirit says to be bold. So all the things we are talking about, those are the elementary things that we learn that brings us to the place where God can now use us as he wills to use us. In the book of Genesis, when God took the children of Israel from Genesis to Exodus, when they left the land of Egypt, if you are tired, you can walk and stretch your legs. When they left the land of Egypt, God said that he did not take them through the land of the Philistines. Because if you look at the map, Egypt is here. You need to pass through the land of the Philistines before you get to Canaan. He did not take them through the land of the Philistines because they were too young and too naive. After you have been in prison for 400 years, When you are just left prison, you haven't come to the place where you are as bold as a lion. So God had to take them through some training first. Because if early they had faced the Philistines, believe me, they would have run back to Egypt. So there are times God himself will allow us to be trained before he uses us in battle. It's not that he can't fight the battle himself. But there are times he will allow us to go through some trainings and take us out of hot situations so that by his training, we will now be the ones who will be his hands and the feet where he wants us to be. And like I said, what hinders us from the power of God being in our lives? The first thing, number one, is prayerlessness. That is the number one thing, prayerlessness. Every time when in the Gospels we see the Lord Jesus Christ have a time of ministry, at the end of the time of ministry, we will read that he goes into a solitary place, or he goes into the wilderness, or he goes into a quiet place to do what? To pray. Jesus depended, if our God depended when in the flesh, depended so much on prayer to do the things he did, how much more we? You cannot execute anything in power. You cannot demonstrate power and authority if you are not connected to the source of electricity, if you are not connected to the vine. Because the power is not in ourselves. God uses us as a conductor to manifest the power of God within the world. So if you are not connected to the source of power, you can never... Maybe for a small while you might demonstrate. You know how a capacitor discharges electricity for some time. But because it's not connected to the source of power, after some time, everything you have within you is expended. Power connects, prayer connects us to God. Prayer connects us to the source of power. Without us praying and seeking God, without us being connected to God in prayer, we have very little power. We will have the authority, but there will be no power to do the work. So as Christians, number one, we need to be connected to God in prayer. Number two, ignorance. And that ignorance stems from a lack of the knowledge of the Word of God. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. My people, they perish for a lack of knowledge. Ignorance. I dare say that many people who have been stolen from in the church in the name of tithes and offerings, they might have known a lot more if they were not ignorant of the Word of God. Ignorance. If you do not open the Word of God to know the Word of God, you are ignorant of the things that God wants of you. You are ignorant of the things that God does through you. The third one is fear. Fear. When David came to Goliath, there were two things David could have done. He could have faced Goliath, or he could have run away. Okay. Does anybody know in the Bible what the physical characteristics of Goliath was? How many feet high was he?
12 feet.
Okay, some people say 9 feet, some people say 12 feet. The tallest basketballers today, 7'9", 7'10", 7'8". I don't think we have any 8 foot tall basketballer. So Goliath was taller, head and shoulders above any basketballer living today. Okay? Most basketballers that are very tall, they're very skinny. Goliath wasn't skinny. You know, look at Brother Kunle there. Goliath was, you know, was big. Goliath was bigger than that. So, not only was he tall, he was big. The Bible described his javelin or his spear as a weaver's beam. If you've ever seen a weaver's beam before, if you've ever seen people who weave cloth, the beam is really long. It's like a small trunk of a tree. So, when David as a young boy, you know, the way he was described wasn't a very tall guy. Because the time of David was like in the time of Saul. The Bible tells us that Saul was head and shoulders above everybody because Saul was, you know, tall, masculine and everything. David was like any ordinary person. Any ordinary person like me, standing before somebody who is 12 feet tall. You know, people you look at face to face, the people you look at cranking your head like that. And I'm looking at somebody who is a giant. And I'm saying, how can I fight this person? But David said something which I want us to take note of. He said, you come to me in your own power. But I come to you in the name of the God of Israel. So David did not face Goliath by his own power. David faced Goliath because of the God that he believed that was inside of him. And therefore, he could not run because he was bold because of the person who was in and with him. So as Christians, brethren, if you face the devil, if you are afraid, the Bible says that the devil goes about like a what? A roaring lion. If you've ever been to the zoo, when a lion roars, they said that a lion roars at night, 2 to 3 miles. So if a lion roars from here at Langley Park, they're hearing the roar of the lion. If a lion roars, it doesn't mean he's biting. But the roar of a lion is really loud and can make some people run. The question is that as a Christian, will you run at the roar of the lion? We are not Christians to be afraid of the roar of the lion. When we stand with boldness because of the authority of Christ within us. The last thing that makes us not have this power is sin within our lives. The last thing is sin. There's no way that our fellowship with God would not be unbroken if we continue our sin, if there be unrepented sin in our lives. There's no way we can stand before. When Christ himself said, he said that the evil one comes and finds nothing in me. That is, there's nothing of sin within him, nothing that the enemy could accuse him of. The accuser of the brethren is always standing before God, wanting to accuse us. But if we give place to the accuser of the brethren, there's no way the power of God, the authority of God, can be made manifest in our lives. Because the person we represent is the person who is holy. The God we represent is a God who is without sin. And so if we do not bear his nature, there's no way that we will be able to carry his authority and his power. So, brethren, what am I saying today? God is preparing us for something. We don't just come to church and we don't just say we are Christians and we read the Bible just for the reading the Bible's sake. There is something that God is preparing each and every one of us for. And it's so that his power and his authority may be able to rest upon us, so that we will be the continuation of the works of Christ upon the earth. So we are Christians not just to read the Bible and pray and wait for heaven. Sister Ronki, you are a Christian not just to read the Bible and pray and wait for the day of death. Everything that Christ wants to do, he's looking for you. He's looking for you. He's looking for each and every one of us, that his power and his authority may rest upon us to continue his work upon the earth. The question is that, would we put our hands in ease and continue this work? Let us pray. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirst in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me, fill. I want no more. Fill my cup, I lift it up and make me whole. Fill my cup. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord, oh Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, I lift it up and make me whole. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word is the one that cleanses us. Your purging is the one that makes us bear fruit. We pray now, Lord, that as you have been working in our lives, that we be of use to you, being people who by authority and power can make manifest your work upon the earth. Just as you sent out the 12 and they came back with reports of demons being subject to you according to their words. Sick being healed. We pray, Lord, that we will be of use in even greater and mightier ways than this, O Lord. As you reveal to us in whatever sphere of life you have placed us, to be your hands and your feet and your mouth of compassion and of love to the world, to be the salt within the earth, the light of the world. Father, we pray, help us to be what you have created us to be, that we do not just fill space within the world till the day we die, but that we will be of use to you, so that at the very end, you can say, well done, good and faithful servant, because the talents that you have given, we have used it for your glory. Jesus, areas in which we have been prayerless, fearful, ignorant, sinful, have mercy and forgive us of these areas in our lives, O God, so that your power may rest upon us mightily in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we give thanks and we bless you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.